13, 5, recorded in 2 Timothy chapter 15, verse 13. There came a messenger to David saying, the hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom. And David said unto all his servants that were with him at Jerusalem, arise, and let us flee. For we shall not else escape from Absalom, make speed to depart. Let us be overcome and suddenly, and bring evil upon us and smite the city. King's servant said unto the king, behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king shall appoint. And the king went forth, and all his household after him. And the king left 10 women with concubines to keep the house. And the king went forth, and all the people after him, and carried the place that was far off. And all his servants passed on beside. And in verse 23, it says, all the country wept. Loud voice, and all the people passed over, the king also himself passed over the roof of heaven, and all the people passed over toward the way of the wilderness. And so all the country wept with a loud voice, and all the people passed over, the king also himself passed over the roof of heaven, and all the people passed over toward the way of the wilderness. Well, bless us this morning. I'd like to look at that last verse. We'll try to look at some of the things that led up to this. It says that David himself and all the people, they passed over a certain brook, and this brook is called Kidron. This brook is found a number of times throughout the Old Testament. It's mentioned one time in the New Testament. This brook, the name means a dark or very dirty place. On the east side of Jerusalem, there was a valley, and it was a very steep ravine that went down this valley. At the bottom, there was a creek. It would run on a stream at only certain times of the year. That stream was used throughout the history of Israel for generally not good purposes. A lot of times when idolatry would take place and kings would make reformations in the land, those idols would be burnt and cast in the brook Kidron. The city of Jerusalem used it really as their trash heap. It was also where the sewage of the city would run. The waters literally were dark, looking like blood, or even looking black. So here in 1 Samuel 23, we find that David, he's going to cross over this brook. It's not by accident that the Bible puts this in here. Because later on in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, the super David, in John chapter 18, the Lord Jesus also will cross over this brook. And there's some wonderful lessons and pictures that we can see in the scriptures concerning this brook of what it typifies or pictures for us. Before we try to get into that, let's set the scene for 2 Samuel 15. You recall in 2 Samuel 11, we find that David sins with Bathsheba. In that sin, we find the first of adultery, and then it's going to conclude with murder. And then in 2 Samuel 12, we find that Nathan the prophet will come and let David know that even though no one besides David and Bathsheba really know what's going on, that the Lord knows, and the Lord told Nathan. And so these four people know: the Lord, Nathan, of course, David, and Bathsheba. Not sure that Joab knows about it. He was the general out in the field, but David sent the letter by Uriah's hand, and of course, we find that Uriah was slain. Here we find that because of David's sin of adultery, then murder takes place. You recall in 2 Samuel 12, when the Lord speaks to David through Nathan, he lets David know that he will not die. You remember Nathan comes in a parable. He speaks in his parable about a certain rich man that had great plenty. And then there was a poor man that had one ewe lamb. The Bible describes that ewe lamb almost like it was a member of the family. And this rich man had a really great guest. And instead of killing from his own flock, he went and had it, one poor man's ewe lamb slain, taken from him, and fed his company or his guest that. When David hears that parable, when he thinks it's a real story, he is greatly enraged by this. He says, well, this man shall pay fourfold, which was what Moses' law required. He says, also his life shall be taken. And as soon as David pronounces all this judgment, David looks down and says, thou art the man. And in
Jesus Christ. deep desire to be quiet. And rather than just interest that, say, well, how do I know? And if you don't have the wisdom, you don't ask God. James 1 says, if you lack wisdom, that's fine. He did it all in that of living up, but if not. So if you don't know, ask. And trust and wait for an answer. Anyway, David here has been just, mistake after mistake, error after error. And in this all is now all the hearts of the people, or the hearts of many of the people have turned against David. And as we said in verse 13, when we turn, there came a message to David saying, the hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom. So David says that all these services are the saddest of David's life. Imagine this. For years now, David has been established as king. First of Hebron, and now of Jerusalem, over all the united tribes of Israel. For 7 years, he reigned over part of Israel. And now the rest of his reign was over all of Israel. This is not an invading army coming and driving him out of the land. This is an enemy attacking him from within. Remember what God told me today. He said, the sword shall never depart from my house. God didn't say, I'm going to attack you from the back. He said, I'm going to attack you from within. And so here we find that David has opened the door for this attack in that time. His own son now has been brought into the house, which should have been dead in his grave. It's not for his sin, but David has an empathy and a heart of a son of God would not do what was right. So he goes out after his father, and they will cry. garden. Now when she entered, and did disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place. For Jesus oftentimes was sort of bitter with his disciples. So here the Lord Jesus is going to Gethsemane. But again, the enemy crosses the word Gethsemane. Well, again, this is not recorded by accident. And John is the only gospel writer that records that this is the way by which he went. That doesn't mean there's any less true. There's a lot of things that only John records for us. Why did Jesus cross this point in the river of Gethsemane? A branch that he could have taken, a place that he could have gone. Why these two places? Why Catherine and why Gethsemane? Well, both of them have a great symbolism. Catherine represents darkness. It represents a ruin. It represents waste and fantasy. That was his worthless. But all of that was just corrupt. That was his ungodly. That was just sinful. What are we to typify you and I? To typify where we were in our dead and sin and idol. They showed who we were by nature. They showed who we were even by activity. That we were worthless and we were by pain. That we were empty vessels, not worthy of the mercies of God. But the Lord Jesus Christ, as he goes out in his wrath to Calvary, and he goes over to this brook, remember what it says in Psalm 110, verse 7. Thank you. set up from that day to that thing. He would come forth. And he served himself alive by many infallible proofs. And the Bible says that he was exalted and given a name which is above every name. And he was seated at God's own right hand. And not only was his was he lifted up, but you and I have been lifted up as well. Because the Lord Jesus Christ drank the cup of the wine. Because the Lord Jesus was always in the 2 Corinthians 5, and he had been in sin, was meant to be sin for us. That he would go through the darkness and the blackness of corruption, he would not be corrupted, so he would drink it upon himself. And there he would drink the cup of God's fury, and there he would participate with our sins, the sins that he would be the son bearer and the representative there. And God, in those moments of prayer, would look down upon him and see all of us sin, all of us wicked men, the wickedness, all of ungodliness of every reptile, of everyone here at Saber Bill Glory, God would see that resting upon
side. See, Luke says, by yourself.